Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for joining me on the broadcast today and taking time out of your busy life to listen to my program. Today is Monday, October 5th, 2020, and today I'm beginning a special series called Remembering Rahane. October is Rahane Jabari month here on the Cross in the Desert. It was more than 6 years ago that this beautiful soul, a beautiful fragrance, Rahane Jabari, was unjustly executed in Tehran. What was her crime? Defending herself against a government rapist. I wrote Rahane's story in my book entitled Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. And this month, if you have never heard her story before, or you're not familiar with all the details, I'm going to be sharing with you her story from my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. It was more than 5 years ago that I began the process of writing a book that has literally transformed my life. Her story has become one of my most important rights in my book writing career. It is a book that has done very well among Iranians and among many non-Iranians who have been introduced to her story through my publication. It is my absolute commitment in writing this book to make Rahane's story well known all over the world, every media outlet that I can. Her story is quite well known in many aspects of the media. For instance, it was more than 4 years ago that Lisa Daftari did a special interview with Rahane Jabari's mother, Sholi Pakravan, just hours after the execution. And so on Fox News, her story is well known. But since I have written her book, I've taken upon myself to write this book to defend her honor and to tell her story to as many people on my list of Facebook contacts and in all my Facebook pages. I feel it's not just my duty, it's my passion, because her story is heart-wrenching. Her story is a story of survival in the prisons of Iran, in a male-dominated society where women are treated like second-class citizens, where the story of rape and injustice is not taken seriously. And in the case of Rahane, they took this unjust rape attack and they turned it into just a problem between two families. Rahane defended herself in a situation and did what any normal human being, any normal woman would do if she had the opportunity. and she defended herself by picking up a knife and stabbing her attacker. It's called self-defense, but remember, she lived in Iran. And under Sharia law, you have to have more than four witnesses to prove a rape assault. And of course, Rouhani didn't have any witnesses. And so they turned it into a complete facade. And I'll be sharing with you for the next several weeks here in October, her story from my book. My book, Rouhani, A Beautiful Fragrance, is available in both Kindle and paperback on Amazon. I hope and pray that if you haven't read it, that I will encourage you, that I will motivate you and inspire you to read this story. Her story must be told. While she was in prison, Rouhani had the opportunity to write what's called prison letters. And these prison letters were actually smuggled out of Iran through the internet. And my good friend Shadi Paveh became her interpreter, translating these letters from Farsi into English. And in the beginning of my book, I share with you some excerpts from her letters that are quite detailed and very long. And this is from prison letter number one. And this is what Rouhani says in the opening paragraphs. I, Rouhani Jabari, am 26 years old with a hanging rope in front of my eyes that I am not afraid of. I write to tell the tale that I lived. I want to tell you everything that I said in court, which they did not understand, and everything that I cried out under torture, which was not heard. Everything that I screamed out while I was brutally kicked by four forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. When I read this first prison letter and I came to the conclusion, this one sentence just gripped my heart and soul. And I knew right then and there that I had to write Rouhani's story. I knew I had access to some of the prison letters, but I needed to know more about her, her life, growing up, the memories of her. And I was able, through my Iranian friend Peymaneh, to contact her family. And Peymaneh served as my translator. She would send them my questions, and then they would answer in Farsi. And Peymaneh would translate for her and then send to me. And this book was a massive project, but I am so thankful to God that he gave me this blessed opportunity to be a voice for Rouhani. I want to also share on the next page of the book some of the final words of Rouhani to her mother. And she writes, "In the court of the Creator, I will charge Dr. Surbandi. I will charge Qasem Shabandi and all those that out of ignorance or with their lies wronged me and trampled on my rights and didn't pay heed to the fact that sometimes what appears as reality is different from it. Dear soft-hearted Sholi, in the other world it is you and me who are the accusers and others who are the accused. Let's see what God wants. I want to embrace you until I die. I love you." Some of the final words of Rouhani to her mother, Sholeh. Dr. Surbandi was the man. He was the man that pretended to be a doctor who said to Rouhani one day when he met her, "I am a surgeon, and I hear that you do interior decorating. I would like to hire you to come to my office and to do some interior decorating and transform my office into a surgery suite." And Rouhani agreed. But of course, this man lied. He was not a surgeon. He was actually a former intelligence agent for the Ministry of Intelligence. He didn't tell her that. He lured her to his apartment. It was a dirty apartment, not a surgery suite needing to be revamped. And there he tried to rape her. And it was there that Rahane fought for her life and stabbed her assailant. And it was there that her life dramatically changed on July 7th, 2007. In the beginning of my book, after a title of a chapter called The Author's Journey of Pain, I wrote a very important section called In Defense of Her Honor. And I want to read this to you because this sets the tone for the book and everything that you will read thereafter. In the Persian language, names have specific meanings that relate to life. The name Rahane means flower, fragrance. Ironically, my name in the English language, Randy, means defender. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that I'm writing this book for Rahane. I am not really writing out of sympathy. It is much bigger than that. I believe I have the God-ordained task to live up to the meaning of my name. I want to be a defender of Rahane's honor as a woman. Rahane was the helpless victim of a man's uncontrollable sexual advances, and she did what any honorable woman would do by defending herself. In Iran, the unfortunate reality is that women are the property of men in a society that elevates the status of a man because of Sharia law. According to the Quran, men are superior to women, and the testimony of a woman is only worth half that of a man's. Surah chapter 2, verse 282, and Surah chapter 4, verse 34. Rahane grew up in this kind of culture, and because she defended her honor against a former intelligence agent, her fate was sealed. The Iranian regime would do everything in its power to protect the reputation of a government man, which meant that Rahane had no hope of surviving, but instead would be sacrificed on the altar of convenience so that the Surbandi name would not be tainted. Right before her execution, the regime brought in cameramen and reporters to pressure Rahane into changing her story. Just say he did not try to rape me. In the midst of great pressure to preserve her life, Rahane refused to lie and compromise the truth, but instead, she stood strong and tall as a majestic mountain and looked in the face of her accusers and responded, quote, "I will not lie." The reason I chose the name A Beautiful Fragrance as the subtitle of my book is because Rahane exemplified and lived up to the meaning behind her name. She was a beautiful fragrance of honor, kindness, mercy, and courage. She forgave her interrogators shortly before her execution and showed kindness and compassion to the many women political prisoners who came from destitute and filthy walks of life. My book is about a remarkable, extraordinary, and inspiring woman who suffered greatly at the hands of an evil dictatorship and illuminated a dirty prison with the beautiful fragrances of her wonderful character. It is my honor and pleasure to defend her honor and tell her incredible story to the whole world. The book begins with the last visit that Sholeh, her mother, and her father and sisters had with her the night before her execution on October 25th, 2014. I began the book deliberately to just give that last day that Rahane had with her family before she was executed. I wanted the reader to feel the emotions and the pain of what it must have felt like to say goodbye to someone you love so much. And in fact, in this chapter, the family is very optimistic that the family of Surbandi will forgive Rahane. There is a I guess it would be a philosophy with what happens between families, that the family has the opportunity to forgive the accuser, the one who did the crime. And in some cases, there have been instances right before execution where the other family said, I will forgive you. But that also means that the family will receive compensation or blood money for the crime done, for the murder done, whatever you want to call this. In the case of Rahane, her family was optimistic. They knew that that could happen. And, of course, that didn't happen. What happens in these cases is that the person that did the crime has to stand up on a chair with the noose around her neck. And the family that is the victim will come up to the person that did the crime, and at that point they can say, I forgive them. But in the case of Rahane, that didn't happen. And the victim family kicked the chair out from under Rahane, and she was executed. It's interesting that a few days before it, the family met with Rahane's family, and they had an opportunity even then to say, I forgive. But two government men came into the meeting and sat next to the Sarbandi family and put great pressure on them to not forgive. And it comes down to this with the case of Rahane. Rahane is a woman living in Iran. Remember what I read to you. Rahane, as a woman, her testimony, according to the Quran, is not credible. It's worth only half that of a man's testimony. And so she has the religious book already set against her. She already has Sharia law set against her. And on top of it, she also has the pressure of the government to say, no, Dr. Sarbandi, he was an agent. He was a former intelligence agent. His reputation is at stake. He worked for the government. How dare this woman think that she can make such an accusation against this man and his reputation? And so the cards were stacked against Rahane from the very beginning. In this book that I will be reading selections to you from, you are going to meet a pretty incredible person. Through the memories of her family, as I wrote this book, I felt that even though these are memories and stories from her family, I began to really feel like that I was getting to know a very special person. The qualities of kindness and sacrifice and compassion were the qualities of Rahane. She was a wonderful sister to her other two sisters, Shahzad and Shari. She sacrificed her time to help them in difficult situations. She was a compassionate, good person. And she lived in a country where you had to struggle as a woman to make ends meet. And that's why when she was offered the opportunity to get ahead, if you will, and a man would come and approach her and ask her, look, I want to help you get ahead as a woman in Iran. I'm going to hire you, and I'm going to pay you well. Rahane's first reaction as a woman living in Iran was, this is my opportunity to do something really positive. Now, Rahane was already attending university in computer programming, and she already was working part-time in an advertising job. And so she saw herself printing out cards, business cards to advertise other people's businesses, and that she would go and use her decorating skills to work with them. And she saw herself in that situation as an opportunity to move up the social ladder. Unfortunately, the intent of Dr. Sarbandi was completely different. And you will find out in this month just exactly what happened as I take the time to read from my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. I'm doing this month because this is the 6-year anniversary of her execution, and The pain does not go away. In fact, just a few months ago, Sholeh, her mother, suffered a stroke and was in the hospital, and thankfully she's going to be okay. But one thing I wanted to share with you is that her mother and her, one of her sisters was able to escape Iran into Turkey, and now they are living in Germany as refugees. You see, because her mother, Sholeh, is very strong, very outspoken, and she continued to speak out about Rahane's murder, not execution, but murder. And the government did not like that, and they put pressure on her. And so she took her other daughter and left, which means that her husband and other daughter is still in Iran because the government has confiscated their passports. This is an incredible story, and I want you to hear it this month on The Cross in the Desert. I'll have some concluding words, but I want to feature a song right now. This is called Living Hope on The Cross in the Desert.
How great a chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
One of the amazing stories in my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, is what happened to Rahane while in prison. She had a supernatural encounter that changed her life forever. And I will talk about that on the series this month from my book. But writing from Iran, Miral and Samar, in a dedication in my book, sent me this short little dedication so that I could put it in the book. They write, "Dear Rahane, you are alive in the hearts of all women in Iran. You are a symbol of perseverance, the shout of injured women. You are a flower blossoming in the soil that will never surrender. There are thousands like you held captive in this land of animals. I wish I could have rescued you. I wish I could have taken your mom's hand and kissed her tears. But now you are safe at home with God, the place of Rahane's, the place of Netta's, the place angels." My friend Miral and her friend together wrote this dedication. And just on a side note, it was no more than a few months after this dedication was written that Miral, my good Iranian friend, was able to escape from Iran and join up with a band of refugees and cross the mountains of Turkey and make her way to Germany, where she lives today. And so there are many, many stories that have come out of this book. If you're interested in reading in detail this incredible woman's story, you can get Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, up on Amazon.com in both Kindle and paperback. This is not about selling her book. It's about telling her story to the entire world about how women, especially rape victims, are treated in Iran. So please join me the rest of this month for special programming about Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, on the Cross in the Desert. Have yourself a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday.